How are you doing today? I hope you had a good week, and we're glad that you're here to worship. If you're here and a guest, we're really, really honored that you would find your way here. If you're here for the second or third time, we are really amazed and excited that you came back, so we're glad to have you here. I want to welcome all of our campus. If you don't know, we are one church in a variety of different locations, and so we have our Springboro campus to the south. We have our Northmont campus to the north, Beaver Creek there to the east, Classics, and all of you that are right here at Centerville, great to have you here today. Thanks so much for joining us in worship. If we haven't met, my name is David. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's my joy and privilege really to open up God's Word with you today and think through in this series called The Helper, where we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Let me start out by asking you a question. So at what point do you fill up your gas tank in the car? Because there's no confusion about this. What I've discovered is that everybody knows like where their tipping point is, right? Some people like if it's half empty, I got to fill it up right now. If it's three quarters empty, that's the time. If you have a quarter left in the tank. Or some people actually wait till the light turns on. So I want to see how many of you would be willing to be just honest today. How many by raised hand would say, I wait for the light to go on? Can I just see your hands? Because my hand is raised. I'm looking around here. Yeah, that's really amazing right there. How many of you are like, when there's a quarter tank left, that's me right there. Let me look around. Yeah, we go on all of our campuses. How many of you are like, half a tank? That's empty enough for me. That's amazing, actually, half a tank. I actually tried this a couple of weeks ago because I've been thinking about this message for a long time. And so 2 weeks ago, my light came on. I thought, I'm going to see how far I go. My car actually told me that I had 35 miles, which, by the way, if you don't know, the research says that when your light comes on, vehicles have between 30 and 50 miles left, which I didn't know. And so my car actually said 35 miles. I thought, I'm going to see if that's true. So I went 35, then it dropped down to 25. Then it went to 15, and then 10, went to 5, and literally one day I pulled into my driveway and it said 0 miles. And I thought, well, that's interesting, I'm home. And then I drove to a gas station about 2 miles away and I got some gas. So apparently zero is not zero. So, you know, who knows, right? It's absolutely amazing. I did some research, really interesting. If you wait till the light goes on, you're part of the 11% in America that waits for the light to go on. 11% of Americans wait. That's 24 million people wait until the light goes on. What was really fascinating to me is to discover that in Europe, in England, 28% of Europeans wait till the light goes on. I don't know why. Maybe they're just not as panicky as we are. Who knows? But the question is, are you running on empty in your spiritual life? That's really why I bring up this question, because the truth is God does not want you and I to run on spiritual fumes. He wants us to be filled with power in our lives by the Holy Spirit. He wants us to experience Him at every single level of our lives. So here's what I want you to do. Before we jump in, I want you to look at your life for just a second, and I want you to pick an area of your life where it feels like to you that you're running on spiritual empty. It might be your marriage. It might be your singleness. It might be that you're 13, you're in middle school. It might be you're in college. We've got lots of college students, actually, that come from a variety of different colleges. It might be that as a college student, you're like really stressed and there's an area of your life. It might be because you got some news from a physician that's less than positive, and that is an area where you feel really you're running on empty. It might be because of a loss in your life. It might be because of a child that you have that's not going the direction that you'd hope for. It might be a grandson, or it might be that you're waiting to get pregnant, and you've waited and waited and waited, and spiritually speaking, you're like on empty. I don't know what it is for you, but I want you to think about that, because today, as we're in week 3 of this series called The Helper, because we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and today we're going to be talking about how you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And what does that look like? What does that mean? How does that happen? And is there any way that you and I can tell if, in fact, we are filled with the Holy Spirit in that particular area of your life? What is that area for you? If you hear nothing else today, I want you just to think about that. And as we look into God's Word here today, we're going to learn how to be filled with God's Spirit in that area of your life so that you can have power and you can experience God in some powerful ways. See, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Would you agree, church? We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in the church. Let me ask the question, where is the church that is shaping the community around us? Where is the church where we're seeing people who have real needs in our community? Where is the church where we're confronting men and asking men to stand up and lead spiritually in their lives and all the relationships that they have? Where is the church where we're encouraging women to be godly women and be examples for us? Where is the church where we're helping students to stand up to their biblical truths that they learn every single day? Where is the church in talking to people who are far from God? We need the Holy Spirit in our lives. Talking about running empty, I mean, this is the opportunity for you. If you drive a Tesla or if you drive an EV, you can glow right now, right? Because you don't put any gas in your car. So the metaphor kind of breaks down for you, right? But the truth of the matter is, many of us, as we go through life, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There are areas in our lives where it doesn't feel like we have God's power. And I want to talk about that with you today. And I want to leave here today and see if God can do some amazing things, maybe some miraculous things in all of our lives as a church family, in all of our campuses. For those of you that are online with us in the Dayton area, somewhere around the world, and we have people literally around the world, what would it be like if today, as we start our day tomorrow, that you would have God's power by His Spirit in an area of your life where today you feel like you're running empty? That would be amazing. That's why, one of the reasons why we're doing this series called The Helper, because I think the greatest need in the church is the power of the Holy Spirit in every area of our lives. Now, Paul, the Apostle Paul, he uses a different metaphor. I'm using the metaphor of our vehicles because most of us drive vehicles, have vehicles. Many times we have more than one vehicle in our life. Paul uses a metaphor that you and I probably don't understand as much, but let's try it. And so it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You don't need to turn there because I'm going to have you turn somewhere else in the New Testament in just a little bit, but let me put it on screen for you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says, "Do you not know that you are God's temple?" Now, they would have understood this in the first century as he's talking to the church in Corinth, because they knew the temple. They knew that in the middle of the temple was the Holy of Holies, where the very presence of God resided. And so they understood that metaphor. For us, it's a little different. He says, "Do you know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells inside of you? For God's temple is holy and you are that temple." So Paul is talking to them and saying, like the temple, God's presence is in there. And if you look at your life, you want God's presence to be in your life and in every area of your life. So not only is it God wants to be inside of you, He wants to be in control of every single area of your life. And I want to take a look at that with you today as we think through this. He uses this metaphor. And so let's piggyback on that metaphor and let's think through a couple things. Because we are God's temple, the Holy Spirit isn't a guest who visits. He resides inside of us. So if you're here today, we talked about this 2 weeks ago, that if you're here today and you're with us and you're a follower of Jesus and you've made the decision where you want to surrender your life to Jesus and you've given control to Him, because of that, Jesus gives us a gift that we can unwrap, which is what we're trying to do in the series, to unwrap the Helper, which Jesus calls Him the Helper, the Holy Spirit. And as you invite the Holy Spirit into your life through this relationship, He's not a guest. He doesn't come and go. And even though sometimes you and I feel as if like we're running on spiritual emptiness, that doesn't mean that the Spirit of God is gone. It just means that we've pushed the Holy Spirit out of that particular area of our lives. And I think you know this, but let's just make sure that we agree that that area can change depending on where you're at in your life. That area might be different if you're 13 years of age. Might be different if you're in college. It might be different if you're single. It might be different if you're married or if you have kids or grandkids. It might be different if you're in your 80s or 90s. It might be different based on the seasons of life that you have. But see, if we're God's temple, the Holy Spirit is not a guest. He's not in and out of our lives. He is resident. He's inside of us. That's why 2 weeks ago as we started this, we said, the Holy Spirit helps us to understand that God is not far. He is not far. He is right there. Secondly, we understood last week that God speaks to us. He does it through His Word, and He speaks to us. And we talked about ways in which God speaks to us. If you missed that, I really encourage you to go back, because we learned 4 ways that you can hear God's Word, God's speaking to you in your life. And so we talked about that. Secondly, because we are God's temple, holiness isn't optional. It's not optional for us because God is the designer of your life and my life. He created you and he knows everything that's going on in your life, and he knows if you're feeling some emptiness in your life, or he knows what area it is in your life that's really dogging you and really you're struggling with. And holiness is not an option because God is the designer. And on this metaphor that Paul uses, if we are God's temple, then holiness isn't optional for us. Of course, the question is, what is holiness? I'm going to tell you that in just a second. But thirdly, because we are God's temple, God examines us and he rewards us as well. And we're going to do that today. We're going to take a look at our own lives. I've already asked you to come up with an area of your life where you feel like you're running on spiritual empty. God examines our lives, and he does that because he wants to reward us. See, God is not in the business of wanting to punish you any more than any parent here in any one of our campuses would say, yeah, I'm really excited about punishing my kids. That's not how God works. I mean, he will do it if he has to, but he wants to reward us. And the way that he rewards us as he examines our life and we invite the Holy Spirit into a certain area of our life and we experience the kind of power that we're talking about here in this series. See, because we are God's temple, it's through the Holy Spirit and by his presence and power that we are to be holy. Make sure you catch that. Presence and power. His presence and his power is what causes us to be holy. Again, the question is, what does holiness look like? So if you want, you can jot this down. Let me give you, as you read through the scriptures, there's at least three definitions of holiness that are really, really important. There's probably more than three, but I want to give you at least three that if you study the scriptures from cover to cover, you'd realize that this is the definition of holiness. This is what it looks like in our lives. Number one, holiness is to be in right relationship with God. So when you become a follower of Jesus, you become in right relationship with God, and he desires and he will work to help you to become holy like him. I mean, in the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2, this is God speaking, all right? So let me just tell you right up front, God is saying this. I'm not saying this. This is God saying it. He said it to his people long ago. He said, you shall be holy for the Lord, for I, the Lord, your God, am, what does it say, church? Holy. Now, Peter picks up on that in 1 Peter chapter 1, and he says, be holy as God is holy. One of the definitions of holy is that you're in right relationship with God. Right relationship with God not only means that you and I are in a relationship with God, but that we evaluate where we're at, and we come in confession, we turn from certain things, we invite him into areas of our life, and that's exactly what we're going to do today, hopefully, that as you invite the Holy Spirit into an area of your life, we will be better prepared to experience communion, which is what we do in the first weekend of every month, and we get to celebrate all that Jesus has done. What a great thing that is. Second definition of holy, if you want to jot it down, is that we are to be distinct from the world. People ought to be able to look at your life and my life, in our actions, attitudes, desires, even thought life, that we're to be different. We should be different than the world around us. And that's so important for us that that's what it means to be holy, that if we're God's temple, that we should then be holy and we are distinct from the world around us, that we respond differently when somebody cuts us off. We respond differently to suffering in our life. We respond differently to disappointment. We respond differently to neighborhood and workplace challenges that we might feel and experience in our lives. So we're distinctly different. Here's a third definition that you'll see all through the Bible, and that is to be holy means that you live out the reality of your relationship day in and day out. That we know what God has to say to us about relationships, about our money, about our thought life, about temptation, about everything in this world. We know what he says, and so therefore we live it out every single day by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be holy. Now, you could add to that, certainly, but you certainly can't take from those three. Those three are definitions that you see all through the Bible. You see, as God's temple, he wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The operative word there is filled, which raises two questions. So let's just be honest. Here's the questions. Number one, how does that happen? How can you be filled with the Holy Spirit? I mean, if you already have the Holy Spirit, Aren't you automatically filled? And the answer is no. You have the Holy Spirit because he's not a guest, he's resident inside of you. But what we have to do is yield to the Holy Spirit in every single area of our lives. So the question is, how can we allow him to be in control and to fill every single area? How does that happen? We're going to answer that question as we look in the New Testament. Here's the second question. What does that look like? Like, if you were to look at your life, how would you know if you are in fact filled with the Holy Spirit? How would you know that? What would that look like? Well, actually, the Bible tells us. So if you want, why don't you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 15. Ephesians is in the New Testament, and I'll just tell you right now that if you're not in a small group, then you should read this all week long, because the small groups are going to be reading this and talking about it. This is the greatest example that I can find in all of the Bible to answer those two questions. How are you filled with the Holy Spirit, and what does that look like? Ephesians chapter 5. It might be helpful for you to know that in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says to the church in Ephesus, this is how you come to know who Jesus is. And then he says, when you come to faith in Jesus, it's all about faith. Am I right, church? It's all about faith. There's nothing you can do to deserve it. It's faith. And so if you're here today and you're processing a relationship, I'll just tell you, it's faith. You make a decision by faith that you give your life to him. And then in chapter 4, he says, you're a new person. You're in a new day. You're living a new life. And then he tells us how to be filled with the Holy Spirit in chapter 5. Let's take a look at it. Let me read it for you. Here's what I want you to listen for. I'm going to read the first couple of verses here, starting with verse 15. And I want you to listen for how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then I want you to see that Paul uses a different metaphor than the temple. He uses alcohol as a metaphor. And then he tells us what's the proof, or what does it look like? What should you look for in your life if, in fact, you are filled with the Holy Spirit? Here it is, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Here comes the metaphor. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Obviously, Paul is talking here to the church there in Ephesus as he's talking to us today, and he's saying, if you've come to the place where you've invited Jesus into your life, then really you need to understand that the Spirit of God is already inside of you, but how can we be filled by the Holy Spirit? What does it look like to be filled with the Holy Spirit? That's the operative word, filled. What I want to do with you today is kind of unpack that. But if you're a person who likes a formula, let me give you a formula, okay? A mathematical formula. This plus this equals this. Let me give that to you, all right? It's pretty simple. And so you take a look at the area of your life that you're thinking through, and it's going to be different for every one of us. I know what mine is. You know what yours is. If you take presence of the Holy Spirit plus yielding to the Spirit in that area, that will equal filled. It's the presence plus yielding equals filling. That when you take the presence of the Holy Spirit who's inside of you and you yield to any specific area, you will experience filling of the Holy Spirit in that area. Presence plus yielding equals filling. That's the formula, really, that Paul gives us here as he's talking to us. And so I want to talk about that with you. So how can we be filled with the Holy Spirit? Paul tells us, he gives us four things right here in verses 15, 16, and 17. He tells us, here's number one. He says, you got to keep your life under constant review. Verse 15, he says, look carefully then how you walk. In other words, look carefully at how you live your life. Because as you live your life, there are certain areas of your life that might change and shift based on the seasons of your life. And there are areas of your life that you may not yet have given control or yielded to the Holy Spirit, and therefore you experience no power in that area. And so one of the ways that we feel that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit is that we keep our life under constant review. That's why I've asked you today, what's the one area, maybe two, but what's the one area where you feel like you're running on spiritual emptiness, where you're just out of gas, where you're just, you know, you're the temple and you want to be holy and that area of your life is just not there. And so what do you do about that? Well, you keep your life under constant review. The implication of what Paul says in verse 15 is that you can choose to obey or disobey. You and I can choose to do that. In an area of our life, we can choose to obey or we can choose to disobey. But here's what we need to know about this phrase, that you should be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not good advice. It's not something that you ought to think about. It's not something that parents, you may want to talk to your kids about. It's a command that we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a command because if the Spirit is inside of us, don't you think that we should give the Holy Spirit control over every area? Yes or no, church? Yes. It's a command that He gives to us. So how do we do that? Number one, we have a constant evaluation of our life all the time because it'll shift. Secondly, he tells us in verse 16 that you have to make the most out of every chance you get. That's why worship is so important. That's why I'm so glad you're here, because every time we come into worship is an opportunity for us to seize the moment, because as you worship God, God can point out and He can tap you on the shoulder and He can highlight areas of our lives. It's so important. We need to make the most of every chance we get. That's why verse 16 says, make the best use of the time. That's why we tell you that Bible study in the morning is really important. I mentioned this last week. I'll mention it again. We put dailies on the app. It's one of the tabs in the bottom. You just hit the daily and there's a verse and a little video from one of our staff that will just kind of just start your day off. And of course, that's not the only place you can go. There's many places you can go, obviously. But we put that there because we want to make sure that we start our day off, because we want to seize the moment. We want to make sure that we take every chance possible in our life. Make the most of every chance you get. And that's the way that you can become filled. Here's number three. Paul says, don't live carelessly. It is so easy in an area of our life to just live carelessly. And here's the way you do that. Well, you just say, you know what? I can control that one. Don't worry, God. I got this one. I got this one. I can take care of this. I need to do some work first. I need to fix that relationship first. I need to change some things I'm thinking about. I need to just have a little bit more, you know, I need a little more control in my life, a little more strength perhaps. And so that's just not how it's going to work. The Holy Spirit comes in. He gives us the power by His presence. As we yield, we can become filled. Don't live carelessly. Now, let me put it in the positive. The positive would be live intentionally. You and I can live intentionally based on what God says to us in His Word. We can live intentionally. And trust me, when you do, you will be distinct from the world around you. Am I right? You'll be distinct. And living intentionally brings so much joy. It brings so much peace. Here's what I know about you, because I know about me. You sleep better. You sleep better. Life is better. And so it's intentional living. That's how you and I can be filled with the Holy Spirit, to make sure that we're intentional, that we're not living carelessly in our lives. Here's the last one, to make sure that you understand what God wants. So when you look at the area of your life, if you were to say, what does God want in the area that you're thinking of? What does God want there? What would God want you to do? What does God desire for you in the situation and circumstance that you're facing in your own life? Verse 17, he says, therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You know what the will of God is? It's really pretty simple, that you just follow along what you know to be true. You know, if we're being honest here, can I just be honest with you a little bit? What I've discovered in my life, and really in many of our lives, is that so many of us know more than we live out. We know so much, and yet we just don't live it out. And here's how we change that. We take what we know and we yield to the Holy Spirit, and he gives us the power and the courage and the strength and the affirmation to actually live it out. The problem is a lot of times we don't live it out because we're trying to do it on our own strength. And so it's really important for us to know and then to live it out. And Paul says the way that you are filled with the Holy Spirit in your life is that you understand what God wants. And then he uses the metaphor. Take a look at it again. Let's take a look. Verse 18, he says this. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, alcohol was very commonplace in the first century, by the way. If you didn't know that, it was very common. I mean, wine was drunk way more than water. And part of that's because water was not potable. I mean, I remember growing up overseas, and many of you know, I lived in Asia for most of my life, or at least half of my life, and I remember as a kid, I mean, my parents would, they would filter their water, our water, and then they would boil it, and then they would filter it again. So we filtered, boiled, and filtered, because in Asia, you would never drink the water coming out of the tap. If you did, you'd have parasites, you'd have all kinds of, you know, bacteria, and you'd spend a lot of time in the restroom. And so you never drank the water in Asia. That was just not something you did. And in the first century, not much was different in the first century. There was not a lot of potable drinking water. And so wine was a common thing that they drank. By the way, if you're interested, let me just side note here. Let me tell you what the Bible has to say about alcohol. Here's the whole Bible, and I can give you Bible's perspective on alcohol in one sentence. Here it is. Ready? Moderation with great caution. That's what the Bible says about alcohol. Moderation with great caution. And here's why, because Paul uses it as a metaphor, and I think you would understand, as I would. See, alcohol causes us to be uninhibited. It causes us to be unrestrained, which is opposite of what Paul just told us, that you and I should not live carelessly. And he uses the metaphor of alcohol because alcohol causes us to be uninhibited or unrestrained. Secondly, alcohol causes us to be influenced heavily by something that can actually destroy you. And so he's using that and saying, you know what, if you don't invite the Spirit of God in the area that you're thinking about now in your life, there's a potential that that will destroy you. It could destroy your life. It could throw you off so badly that it could just destroy your life over a period of time. So he's using this metaphor about alcohol because alcohol causes us to be driven in behavior that is often, well, regrettable. That alcohol can often cause behavior that is regrettable. And so he uses this metaphor of alcohol versus being filled with the Spirit because he said if you're controlled by the alcohol, then oftentimes there's behavior that's unregrettable. But if you're controlled by the Spirit, you're going to be living out your life in a way that is honoring to God, and he'll reward that. He'll reward that. It's absolutely amazing. And then he tells us the proof of that. So he not only tells us how that we should be filled with the Spirit, but then he says, here's what it looks like. And so as you look at your life and you look at the people around you, here's what that looks like starting in verse 19. Look at verse 19. He says that we ought to address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your hearts, and addressing it and giving thanks always for everything, and then submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So he gives us four proofs that if you look at your life, if today you were to yield that area of your life to the Spirit so that you have his power, this is what it should look like for you in the coming days, tomorrow and maybe this whole week. Number one, proof of being filled can be seen in the way you speak, the way you talk. See, I'm not just talking about what you say, I'm talking about how you say it. That what we say is an example of the Spirit filling us in an area of our life. It's true in our relationships. It's true in our responses. It's true in terms of being positive. It's true in terms of being affirming. There's a difference, and I think you'd agree, between correction and criticism. Yes? Big difference. And so in the way that you and I speak about, that's why he says addressing one another, the way we speak to each other, the way we speak to our friends, our family, our coworkers, our neighbors, the way we speak behind somebody's back, the way we speak is proof of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's the second proof, that we have joy that survives every storm in our life. That there's joy that is infused in your life that really survives everything that you experience in your life. That's why he says, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Joy can be found in your heart. That's why Luke says in Acts 13, the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. That's why Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 says, the joy of the Lord is your, anybody know? Strength. Because joy is a response to this, the filling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's one of the marks of being filled in our life, that we have joy no matter what the situation is. Then it gets a little harder. Here's number three, gratitude as a lifestyle. He says there in verse 20, giving thanks always. And we push back on that, and I get it. I mean, sometimes I push back on it because sometimes we have situations in our life that don't seem, well, easy to be grateful about. When you do get that report from the doctor, when you have an issue in your marriage, when in your singleness or in your, as you're studying, college students, or perhaps with your friends or whatever it might be, there's times in loss, there's times of disappointment where it's not really easy to be filled with gratitude. And yet here's why we can be have gratitude as a lifestyle. Because no matter what's happening in life, here's how gratitude happens. Ready for this? It's knowing that God is near. That no matter what we face, we know that God is, well, he's near. He's in us. He's with us. That's an amazing reality, that the God of the universe is near to us. He's not far. That he speaks to us. That he gives us comfort. That he provides for us. That he gives us power for everyday living in our life. Gratitude as a lifestyle is one of the proofs of the fact that you and I have been filled with the Spirit. Here's number four, constant submission. That you and I are constantly submitting to God. We're constantly yielding to his advice. We're constantly yielding to his counsel. We're constantly being obedient to his word. We're constantly giving him control of our lives. That's why in verse 21, it says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, if you know your Bible really well, you know that after verse 21, then Paul goes into talking about marriages and children and employers and employees. And some would say verse 21 belongs to the next section. I would say that verse 21 belongs to this section and the next section. That really Paul is saying that one of the examples or proofs of being filled with the Holy Spirit is the fact that you and I are constantly submitting. And in fact, that can be seen today if you and I are willing to yield to the area that's on your mind right now, that you might be filled with the Spirit. Here's what's interesting. The word filled that Paul uses has three definitions to it. It is plural, it is passive, and it's present. Which is really interesting because the word he uses there means that it is plural. It's for everyone. It's not just for those that have been believers for 10 years. If you invited Jesus today, maybe just in worship, you were so overwhelmed and you're like, you know what? I've seen enough. I've heard enough. I want to invite him into my life. If that's true of you, then you ought to be filled with the Spirit. It's for everyone. It's a plural word. It's passive in that you can't do anything to get more power in your life. Only the Holy Spirit can do that once you yield and say, I invite you into this area of my life. It is absolutely passive, and it's present, meaning that it happens all the time. That in your life, you can see it all the time. Let me illustrate it this way. Because most of us, when we think of being filled with the Holy Spirit, the image that we have in our mind is of a glass that's empty, and that you're being filled by the Holy Spirit moment by moment by moment, which just isn't true. Because when you come to the place of inviting Jesus into your life, how much of the Holy Spirit do you have? All of him. But when we think of being filled with the Holy Spirit, oftentimes we think of being filled to the top and it's static. It never happens again. I think a better metaphor for us is to understand that in the area that you're thinking about in your life, it's more like a sponge, that as you're filled with the Holy Spirit, because you're going to invite him in today, whatever that is for you and any one of our campuses, you're going to invite him into your life. And what he does is he will come in and give you power and strength in that area of your life. And you know what happens? Then life happens and it gets squeezed out, doesn't it? And so then you start again and you say, would you fill me in that area? Because life squeezes it out. Would you come and fill me in the area of my marriage and so that I can respond properly? And then something is sad and it seems like we push the power of the Holy Spirit out. Now pay close attention. I'm not saying that you lose the Holy Spirit. What I'm saying is that you and I can actually push the Holy Spirit out of an area of our life, and we don't experience being filled in that area because life squeezes it out. This is a much better metaphor of being filled with the Holy Spirit. That as the seasons of your life change, what happens is that you and I need to realize that you can invite him in today and yield to him, and tomorrow something will happen in your life and it squeezes it back out, and you just invite him back in and you yield and you yield and you yield in order for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's another diagram that might help you, because if we really are the temple of God, then this might be the floor plan of your life. That your life is filled with the Holy Spirit, meaning that you have the Holy Spirit, but you need to invite him into areas, rooms, if you will, areas of your life that perhaps have not been yielded. Maybe it's your finances or your health or goals that you have. Maybe it's time or relationship. I don't know what it is for you, but today could be the day where you say, I invite you, I yield to this area of my life. I need the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. Let me end with this. See, as God's temple, being holy is not getting more of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit getting more of you. Because we have the Holy Spirit. And so being filled with the Spirit is allowing the Spirit to get more of us, that we yield an area that you might have. Would you just bow with me and all of our campuses? I'm going to invite you to just a minute or two of just asking God and just saying, I yield an area for the power of the Spirit to be made known, to be filled in that area of my life. Would you just take a minute and just communicate to God and say, God, I yield this area to you. I invite your power in my life. Lord, every single one of us knows what that area is. And we come today as your church, as your people, with the command to be filled with the Spirit. We come today and we yield. By the power of the Holy Spirit, would you come in to all of these areas that you've heard? Thousands of people who are saying, I give you control. I give you control. I give you control. Father, may there be such change in neighborhoods and workplaces and in families and in marriages and in single lives and college campuses. May there be such change that would be so evident to the people all around us that we've been filled with the Holy Spirit. So, Father, thank you. Thank you that you hear our prayer and that you know us. Thank you that you are near, that you speak to us, that your word speaks to us. Thank you that we have full confidence. We ask that you would, by your power, that you would change us, that we might follow and walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, Amen. Amen.